Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Well, thank you, Medwin, for reading that for us. And trust that wherever you are experiencing the presence of God, even though we are, as we talked about last week, and referred to again today, the church ungathered. It's been quite a week, hasn't it? There's so much changing, so much going on. And it seems that in the midst of all the chaos, there is an opportunity for us moving forward. And I'd like to speak briefly about that opportunity right now. One of our values, one of the things that we introduced earlier this year, was the value of being on purpose, about creating and maintaining some margin and space in our lives so that we can join in with the activity and plans and purposes of God. And if you remember, and it seems like such a long time ago, but if you remember that, I challenged us to think about three particular areas of our lives where we might want to create a little more margin. One was wrapped around the social space. You know, did we have any capacity in our lives if God were to bring someone else alongside us? Secondly, it was in the area of our resources. Is there any space or capacity in our resources to participate with what God is doing? And the third area was just wrapped around our time. Are we so busy that we don't have any space for God, or the things that we can say no to? And what's happened as a response of the COVID-19 virus, of course, is that we have been given a whole heap of margin. Margin and space has been forced upon us. Now, let me just say, it doesn't feel that way right now, does it? If you're anything like me, it feels completely overwhelming as we try to get used to this new reality, learning new skills, figuring out how to get the kids to continue to learn at home, setting all that sort of stuff up. It feels like, if anything, we're busier than we have been before. But fast forward just, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 weeks down the track, and this is going to become our new normal. And when things settle down and when we get into the rhythms and routines of working from home and homeschooling our kids and all of those sorts of things, we're going to have some time. We're going to have some margin in our lives. We're going to have a little bit more capacity. And the question really is wrapped around, what are we going to do with that time? What are we going to do with that space? What are we going to do with that margin? Parmenides, I think that's how you say his name, a 5th century BC Greek philosopher, followed on by Aristotle, is credited with the phrase, "Nature abhors a vacuum." And the idea is fairly prominent in physics, where there are no natural vacuums in nature, that always things flow in and flood in to fill any kind of void. And we see it in lots of kind of very natural ways in our day-to-day lives. So the reason when you put a straw in a drink and you begin to kind of suck up the drink, the reason why that works is because you create what's called negative pressure in the straw, and the liquid seeks to fill that up, to bring some equilibrium. If you've ever been in a room where there's a higher pressure of air than a lower pressure, the air moves from the high pressure room to the low pressure room, creates airflow. Our vacuum cleaners work on much the same principle. They create negative pressure inside, and that allows it to suck things into it to clean our houses. And what's true in physics seems to have a spiritual counterpart. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and kind of really getting stuck into them, but tells this kind of curious, or gives a curious example at the end of it. It says, starting in verse 43 of Matthew chapter 12. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, "I will return to the house I left." When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. That is how it will be with this wicked generation. Now, the fact that Jesus is referring to this wicked generation points out that he may not be making a clear, explicit statement about exorcisms. The principle, though, seems to be this, that the empty heart, the empty mind, the empty life is at risk of being filled with unhelpful things if we're not careful. It's not enough just to kind of get rid of the old. We need to fill that with the new. It's not enough just to have margin. We need to make sure that we are intentional and on purpose about what goes into that in order that we don't allow bad habits or worse things to leak in. You may have heard the proverb that the devil finds work for idle hands. When we don't have as much to do, when we have too much free time, we can end up getting ourselves into trouble. So here's my question for you. You know, right now, we are having margin forced upon us. And in this interim time, it doesn't feel like it. We're very busy, we're frantic, we're uncertain. But eventually, if this lockdown continues, we are going to find ourselves with a vacuum, with space and margin in our lives. And the question is, what is waiting to rush into that vacuum? If you think about a vacuum cleaner and you go around vacuuming the house, what are the first things that get sucked up? Well, they're the light, inconsequential things, aren't they? Little scraps of paper, dust and feathers and hair and whatnot. It's much more difficult, though, to vacuum up a chair. It's the inconsequential things. It's the small things that can end up filling up that vacuum. And I think for us in our culture, in our society, if we're not intentional, we might end up getting to the end of this 3, 4, 5, 6 month lockdown with nothing more to show from it than some additional skills at working from home, and having watched all of Netflix and a few more followers on our social media. And I wonder if there isn't actually an opportunity for us as followers of Jesus for something bigger to happen, for something more significant to happen, for something that can actually shape and change our lives. But if we are going to have that kind of outcome, we definitely need to be on purpose. We need to be intentional about the time and space that we are being given. And this is true in kind of every area, not just in our spiritual lives. You know, one of the things that I've noticed just in the last week or so is how much more often the whole family is around the dinner table. If your family was like mine or at that stage of life where it was not uncommon to have only one or two nights when everyone was at the table. Our schedules were all different. The uni schedules and work schedules and soccer schedules and all of those things clashed. And once a week, twice a week, we'd sit down to the table together. Now, well, we're there all the time. Are we going to be intentional about that? Are we going to make something of that? You know, there's an opportunity, isn't there, when you've got a little extra time, particularly first thing in the morning or in the evening, because you're no longer commuting to work, to focus on exercise or some other hobby. There's an opportunity for us to be intentional about our physical health or about developing that hobby in this period of time. And it's similarly true of our spiritual lives. There's an opportunity for us to do those things that we often simply say we were too busy to do before. Oh, I'd love to read the Bible more. I'd love to pray more. I'd love to learn to meditate. I'd love to think about whatever it might be, but I simply don't have the time. And now that excuse has been taken from us, and the opportunity is to be a little bit more deliberate, to be a little bit more on purpose, and take advantage of that space. One of the books that I read last year was a book called Atomic Habits by a fellow named James Clear. And he has some really interesting and really powerful and profound insights about what goes into creating habits that actually make a difference in our lives. And one of the things that he points out at the very beginning is the significance of identity for habit forming. He talks about defining who we want to become as the first step to defining the kinds of habits that we want to inhabit our lives. So he gives this example about the power of identity. He suggests that for someone who wants to quit smoking, instead of focusing on stopping smoking, they ought to, in fact, start behaving like someone who is not a smoker. And so you can imagine the scene, can't you? When someone who is trying to quit smoking is offered a cigarette, and instead of saying, "I'm trying to quit," which says, "I'm a smoker trying to quit," instead says, "I'm not a smoker." That identity statement drives a completely different set of habits. And you and I, as followers of Jesus, are those who have a different identity. And we are being offered here an opportunity, I believe, to be on purpose and deliberate and intentional about the kinds of people, the kinds of habits that we want to put into our lives as followers of Jesus. Now, James Clear is a behavioralist. I don't know if he has any faith. If he does, it certainly doesn't leak into his book. But when I read the book, I was struck by not only the powerful insights in the text, but also the significance that that might bring to those of us who have also been given the Holy Spirit. Now, we have a bit of an advantage in the establishment of habits because the Holy Spirit, the author of new life in us, wants to bring us to maturity. In the kids spot, Roxanne talked a little bit about the cocoon. And I did a little bit of reading this week about what happens to a caterpillar when it goes into the chrysalis, when it is cocooned. And I was a little bit surprised to read that what happens is that essentially the caterpillar digests itself. It just becomes this kind of caterpillar soup. And everything gets broken down except for what has been identified as imaginal discs. These are small little groups of particularly significant cells that do not get broken down, but contain within them the elements of the adult mature butterfly. And as the components of the caterpillar get broken down, those imaginal discs use the protein and build what becomes the butterfly. And I was really struck by this idea of imaginal discs, because those are not things that are created in the cocoon. They're actually held in the egg and in the caterpillar itself. They already exist and are just waiting for that opportunity when everything around it has become all messy in order to actually bring about maturity. I don't know how theologically accurate this might be, but it seems to me that the Holy Spirit puts into our lives, when we place our faith in Jesus, some of these imaginal discs. He places into our lives the very structures that will ultimately bring about maturity as followers of Jesus. Those of us who have begun to follow Jesus are then led on the path towards maturity. And maturity is a pretty significant thing for followers of Jesus. It allows us, for instance, to foster a deep and abiding relationship with Him. It gives us a deep sense of His presence and of His enablement, a clear idea and understanding of His mission and our part within it. It also enables us to help others meet Jesus, to deepen their relationship with Jesus, to understand the mission that God may be inviting them to. This is a strong and developing and mature faith. And I wonder right now where the Holy Spirit might be wanting to bring you to maturity. We have, in the midst of all that's happening around us, an incredible opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to learn new skills about how to be involved in the schooling of our children, about how to work from home, all those sorts of things. But there's also an opportunity for us to allow the Holy Spirit to bring about some maturity in our lives. I began to establish some really healthy, helpful habits. So let me ask you this. This is kind of the last question I want you to reflect on. Not only where might the Spirit be inviting you to maturity, but what can you do to be a little bit more on purpose about that? James Clear, in his book, Atomic Habits, talks about the importance of setting an intention. That if we write something down, if we write down with some specificity what it is that we're going to do and when we're going to do it, that that increases the likelihood of establishing that new habit. So can I encourage you, challenge you to think really hard, to pray really hard about what it is the Spirit might be wanting to do in your life, and to begin to establish some really good habits. Habits that will last long beyond the COVID-19 virus, long beyond this lockdown. That when we get to the end of this period of time, however long it might be, we can say more than we managed to keep our kids educated. We can say more than we managed to work remotely. We can say more than we watched a bunch of stuff on Netflix. But we can actually begin to say that we have grown as followers of Jesus. That our faith has grown, it's strengthened, it's developed. That our relationship with Jesus has deepened. That something really significant happened while we were in lockdown. Something that will change our lives and the lives of those around us forever. So there's your challenge. To take this space and be intentional and on purpose about what we're going to do with it. Because if we do so, I think God can do something pretty amazing in our midst.